Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who is our Sabbath rest. Amen. In the movie The Incredibles, there is a scene where Bob Parr, aka Mr. Incredible, has a confrontation with his boss. He has been forcibly retired from the hero business for years now, and so he is working at an insurance company called Insurance Care. And he's doing a good job, but too good of a job. He's helping his clients and customers get the most out of their policies and claims, and that's not going unnoticed. It catches the attention of his boss, who summons him to his office so that they can discuss what he is doing. And so his boss begins to lecture him because he is angry about the amount of money they are losing from his help. And as they are talking, Mr. Incredible sees out of the corner of his eye a man on the street getting mugged. And the inner hero within him can't fight it. And he says, "That guy's getting mugged. We got to do something about it." And as he turns to go leave the room, his boss says, "Bob, you better not. You better stay here. If you leave, you will be fired." And so he turns around and he sees the robber got away. And he says, "He got away because we did nothing." And his boss says, "Good. Let's just hope he's not one of our customers." In our gospel text this morning, in the second half of it specifically, Jesus finds himself in a similar dilemma. As he walks into the synagogue, he sees a man with a withered hand, and he wants to help him. He knows what he wants to do. He knows what he needs to do. But the religious establishment says, "No, don't do it. You will break the law if you help that man." And as Jesus finds himself in this dilemma this morning, he teaches us about the Sabbath day. He teaches us what the Jews thought about it. He shows us what he thinks about it. And we'll see how this applies to our life as well as Christians who live 2,000 years after Christ's death and resurrection. So as Jesus walks into the synagogue, he sees a man with a withered hand. And the word withered literally means dried up. And that's a very good description of the man's hand. You can picture his hand as twisted, as wrinkled, as locked, and as lifeless. It's doing nothing. It's useless. It does the man no good. And as Jesus comes in, the Pharisees are intently watching him. They're seeing just what is he going to do. They're hoping that he would heal the man so that they could accuse him of breaking the Sabbath day. They think they have Jesus right in their hands, right where they want him. The Pharisees were very rigid and unbending in their understanding of the Sabbath. They believed that no work whatsoever could be done on this day, and they added many of their own rules and laws and interpretations to God's word and commandment. They took our Old Testament text and applied it as literally as one would be able to. And these are just some of the examples in how they understood the Sabbath. They believed that medical attention could only be given on the Sabbath if a life was in danger. So if a woman was giving birth, it would be iffy if they could help, because helping would be work. You'd be in tough luck if you started labor on the Sabbath. If a wall fell on a person, they could move enough of the wall to see if the person was dead or alive, but then they would have to wait until the next day to actually help the person or to move the body. You could not attend to a fracture. You'd have to wait. That would be, again, working. You could not put cold water on a sprained hand or foot to alleviate pain or some of the tension. You could bandage a wound, but you couldn't put ointment on it. In a sense, you could only keep it from getting worse. You could not make anything better. That would be work. But this rigidness extended to all spheres of life. You could not cook on the Sabbath. A scribe could not have a pen. in his pocket. A tailor could not even have a needle. They would actually be then breaking the Sabbath because having those things could lead to work. In times of war, they would not even defend themselves on the Sabbath day, and they would sometimes get slaughtered and give the enemy a good position because, again, that would be work. And with their rules and interpretations, safe to say, if Jesus heals the man, he would be breaking the Sabbath. But never one to back down with a confrontation with the Pharisees, Jesus takes the bait and he summons the man forward. He literally says, "Rise in the midst of the group." He has the man stand in the middle of the synagogue where everyone can see him and hear him and witness what is taking place. But he does it for another reason as well. And it's helpfully explained with a story. As a teenager, my family would go to a picnic called Peds in the Weeds, which is short for Pediatrics in the Weeds. It would be hosted by the cancer doctors, and they would invite anyone at the hospital who had a child who had cancer, past or present, and they could bring their families along with them. It was always a very fun day. They had a lot of games, they had a lot of prizes, they had a lot of food and rides, but it was also a very emotionally draining day as well. There would be hundreds of sick kids, and that's never an easy thing to see. You'd see some in wheelchairs from the effects of the treatments. You'd see many kids bald from the devastation of chemo. You would see them looking pasty white, sick, or lethargic. And your heart would go out to these kids. Your heart would go out to these families. You felt bad for them. You felt compassion upon them. And it's the same here. By having the man stand in the middle with the withered hand, hopefully the Pharisees can have some sympathy. They can have some compassion. They can see that this man needs help, that Jesus should heal him. But nothing. They feel nothing. And so Jesus turns the table and he puts them in a dilemma, just like they put him in one. And once you hear his two questions, you'll see exactly what he is doing. And so he asks them, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do harm? That's like asking, if you see a car accident happen, do you keep on driving past or do you stop and help? If you see a person at the grocery store have the bottom of their bag split open, do you help them pick up their groceries or do you just do nothing and walk on past? The answer to these questions are you do something, right? You take action. And that's what Jesus is getting at. You do good, you don't do harm. And the second he says is this, is it lawful to save life or to kill? The man's life is by no means in danger by any sense of the word. He could wait to heal until tomorrow, but that's not the point. Can they really ignore his need? It would be wrong to leave him in that state if they could help. And with these questions, he forces the Pharisees to admit that it is a good thing to act, that it is lawful to do good, that it is lawful to save a life, that it is lawful that you don't have to wait to do a thing. They don't say a word, though. It's because it shows just how wrong they were. Jesus shows that the Sabbath was made for man, that it's not kept with rigid rules and interpretations that ignore human need and compassion. It's really no surprise they don't answer his question at all. It shows them as being wrong. But their silence irks Jesus and draws out emotion. Jesus is angry and yet at the same time grieved as well. He's angry that they don't have any compassion on this man, and he's grieved at their hardness of heart. They're so dead set on being right that they are dead wrong. They're rejecting him and are blinding themselves from the truth. So Jesus summons the man and says, "Stretch out your hand." And as the man does, his hand is restored. And again, he turns the table on the Pharisees. Jesus does no work in healing them, and he can't be accused of breaking the Sabbath by their own rules and interpretations. And it's at this point that the Pharisees answer Jesus' question. They leave the synagogue, and what do? They leave the plan to harm him and to kill him. They answered Christ's question in the end, after all. They wanted to kill Jesus. But this event reinforces the point made in the first half of our gospel text. There, Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was God's gift to man. It was to be a day of rest when God would come to his people in a special way, with his word and in worship. For in our service, God gives us his gifts of life and salvation and forgiveness. It's where he speaks to. It's where he restores us. It's where he fills us through his word and through his sacraments. It's where we thank and praise him for what he has given and done. And implying the Sabbath day to Christians, Martin Luther helpfully explains that we keep the Sabbath day holy by fearing and loving God so that we do not despise preaching and his word. We hold it sacred, and we gladly hear and learn it. We keep the Sabbath day by using God's word, which is a very great treasure. Luther points out that when we seriously ponder the word, when we hear it, when we put it to use, such is its power that it never, ever departs without fruit. It always awakens new understanding, new pleasure, and new devotion. And it constantly creates clean hearts and clean minds. For this word is not idle or dead, but effective and living. What a great gift our God has given. And the Sabbath day also points us to our Redeemer and our salvation. For Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath for us with his rest in the tomb when he died in your place and in mine, to give us eternal life. And as he bursts forth on Easter morning, proclaiming he is alive forevermore. For he's not just Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the world, the Lord of joy, the Lord of peace, the Lord of mercy, the Lord of the church, the Lord of you, and the Lord of me, whose death and resurrection. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.